Thank you, Katie and friends. I don't know all of you yet, but do you want to do that in church sometime, by the way?
Sure.
Katie, the Lord has brought Katie and Rachel's family to worship with us, and we're very thankful. And I'm also very thankful for you and for your prayers. In a real sense, I wouldn't be here in Bennington if it wasn't for the prayers of God's people, which have included yours. So thank you for bringing us here, in a certain sense, to help proclaim the gospel to the lost, both within and without the church buildings. I was going to speak about the glories of church renewal. You know, we emphasize, rightly so, church planting. When I went to seminary, I thought I'd be a church planter. God had different ideas, and it's actually the ministry that he's led us to is church replanting. So I was going to talk about that, but that's really more self-serving because, well, in a certain sense. But maybe it may be more appropriate for a classroom setting. We can talk about what does it look like to have church renewal, because I'm very passionate about that. But the Lord laid on my heart really something foundational to my faith and to, I hope, yours as well. So if you have your scriptures with you, please open to Galatians chapter 4, and we will be looking at verses 1 through 6. Galatians 4, 1 through 6. And before I read that, let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. It is true. It is trustworthy. We need to hear it. We need to know you. We need to be changed yet again. So will you touch our hearts, our minds, our souls, even our bodies this morning, as we look to you, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This is Galatians 4, 1 through 6. I happen to have the ESV version here. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Amen. You are no longer a slave. You are an adopted child, an heir of God. Will you live as a slave, or will you live as a child of God? Now, we've heard stories of, you know, U.S. history, the slavery in U.S. history, and there's multiple stories that you can run across of when the slaves were set free. A wonderful, amazing time in their lives, but yet some of which had grown up as slaves. They knew nothing but the life of a slave. And then when they were set free, in essence, they didn't know what to do. Their identity was so rooted in slavery. Once they had freedom, they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to live. Well, in the scriptures today, we see that we were slaves. God has set us free. But will we live as slaves? Will we go back to that slave life? Or will we be sons and daughters of the King? Now, I personally have a problem of always wanting to go back to my slavish ways. There is this something in me that just keeps going back. And yet God keeps calling me, you're a son. And one of the most influential pastors in my life, well, I never got to meet him personally, but Pastor Jack Miller started a ministry called World Harvest, but now it's called Surge. And he had a preaching and teaching ministry that turned into a missionary agency. He started this book and discipleship program called Sonship. And this is the foundation of that material, which was so instrumental in my faith. So that's why I wanted to share that with you today. So as we're looking in Galatians, real quick, what's the purpose of the book of Galatians? I can remind you that it was Paul trying to refute the teachings of the Judaizers. Basically, the Judaizers wanted to say, we need to go back to Jewish ways, we need to stick with the Jewish ways, and Paul's saying, no, that's a form of slavery. So the Judaizers were looking to the law of God to make them good before God, and Paul says, no, that's not the gospel. We're not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Christ. That's the whole point of this book. And here we have what could be argued as the crux of the book of Galatians. How do we go from slavery into sonship, into being a child and heir of God? So verses 1 through 3, it's talking about slavery. But I started out talking about American slavery, but I have to apologize for doing that because ancient Greek slavery was not like American slavery. It's a lot different. It's, you know, the term we have, doulos, is sometimes translated slave, sometimes translated bondservant. It was different. They weren't treated like chattel. They were treated more as what we might call house servants. So they were slaves, but they had basic human rights, and but they didn't have what was essential in that culture. They didn't have inheritance. They didn't have land. They didn't have a place of their own. So they were without so much that was vital to that culture. And then, that's what the metaphor Paul is using here as slavery. It's a little bit different, but it emphasizes no inheritance and no rights. Excuse me, some rights, but no inheritance and no land. Now, what does Paul mean about the elementary principles? I like the fact that he uses elementary principles, because what do we learn in elementary school? I've got a kindergartner. He just started kindergarten. He's so pumped about kindergarten. What does he learn the first thing in kindergarten? The ABCs, right? Now, I don't know. I didn't look up how the Message translated this, but you could do a translation of this like, instead of the elementary principles, the ABCs. The ABCs of the world is slavery. The beginning of the world is the AB. We were enslaved to the ABCs of the world. Now, Paul is meaning that the law was sort of the guardian of the people, and that was the basics. If you look at the context, which of course context is always key, if you look at the context, what came up before this, he's talking a lot about the law as the guardian. The ABC, the kind of leading up to how do we live with God. But so the implication that the law was over us, but we ended up being enslaved by it. We don't want to be enslaved by the elementary principles. We don't want to be the slaves of the law. 2 Corinthians 3 says, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, that's not to say we can't be, I'm allowed to use bigger words here, right? It's college.
Yes.
We can't be antinomian, right? Can't be against the law, because the law is good. The law is from God. But the law can't give life. The law can teach us God's way and God's will, but it can't renew our hearts. So we become enslaved to it. Now, God is describing our spiritual state without Him. I was born into slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, friends, we were born into slavery without an inheritance, without a place to call our own. Now, I'm not a huge movie guy. I assume some of you enjoy movies and whatnot. One I did like a while back, it might have been before you, we won't. Oh Brother, We're Out There. Have you seen Oh Brother, We're Out There? I love that movie, partly because of the music. I like to play folk music, which, pause for advertisement. If you would like to experience some folk music tomorrow downtown, my friend Malcolm and I will be playing acoustic music at Knapp's Music Store, 7 p.m. You're very welcome to come join us. There was one line in this movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? The guys, they're running from the law, and they're trying to get this, they're trying to find this treasure, which ultimately doesn't actually exist, and they're sitting around the campfire at one point, and the guy says, you ain't no kind of man if you ain't got land, because that culture was very agrarian, is that right? Agrarian culture, very land-based. You got nothing if you don't have land. That's even more so in ancient Israel, right? You got nothing if you ain't got land. Now, I don't, personally right now, I don't own any land. So I guess that makes me nothing in certain cultures. But God is saying, you can be born into slavery, but I've got so much more for you than land. You're no longer a slave. You're an adopted child and heir of God. Will you live as a slave or will you live as a child of God? All right, verses 4 to 6. This is the good part. You got to get have the bad part, bad news, before you get to the good news. This is one of, you know, one of the best words in the scriptures is the three-letter word, but. You got the bad news, you get the but, then you get the good news. You got the, so when you see that, you know something good is coming. So here we are at the turn. But when the fullness of time had come. That's an amazing way to describe Christmas. The fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son, born of the woman, born under law, to redeem those who were under law. Now, adoption, redeem those who are under law, so we might become receive adoption as sons and as daughters of God. Now, my niece is adopted, and I was a big fan of adoption in general. You know, our church would help sponsor people with adoptions and things like that. I trust you're generally familiar with adoption in our culture, but I didn't realize how expensive, how difficult, how time-consuming, how messy, and so often heartbreaking the process of adoption can be. Well, thankfully, my sister and brother-in-law were able to successfully adopt little Hannah. And Hannah is named after Samuel's mom in the scriptures because Hannah really, really, really wanted a son. And my sister and brother-in-law really, really, really wanted a child, so they named her Hannah. And we are glad that she's part of our family because we have received her into our family. Jesus did the exact same thing for us, redeeming us out from the law at the exact right time. Now, again, I've done it to you. I'm talking about infant adoption just here, but the adoption that that Paul is referring to here, the ancient Roman Greek methods of adoption, actually was adopting people roughly college age. He's not really talking about infant adoption, because when you're somebody and you don't have an heir, you want to see how that person's going to maybe turn out before you pick the heir. So if you adopt an infant, you have no idea some of these traits that these little kids are running around with are just, they're just inborn in them, right? Sometimes I'm fussing at my kids. I'm like, why are you this way? Why are you that way? And then I look and I'm like, oh, because you basically got it straight from me. So when they didn't want to adopt an infant, they wanted to adopt someone roughly your age because you could sort of see where that person's headed. You could sort of see, you know, the characteristics of that person. But can you imagine being somebody who didn't have a future, didn't have a land, didn't have an inheritance, and here we are, there's for lack of a better word, like a nobleman who needs someone to inherit, someone to pass down, someone to take into his family, and he picks that person. Can you imagine yourself being that person? If you were a slave, if you were an indentured servant, they treated you pretty well, hopefully, probably, maybe, but you didn't have any hope for yourself. And then here comes the king. Yeah, we'll call him the king. He said, I choose you. I'm going to take you out of this no hope place, and I'm going to give you everything I've got. Brothers and sisters, that's the gospel, isn't it? God has taken us spiritually. We have no hope. We have nothing to call our own. And he says, I pick you. Not the speaker. I pick you. And I say, God says, I want you to be one of my beloved children. And then what can we say in verse 6? Because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. No longer do we call Him Master in the slave relationship, although He is our Lord and Master, but now we call Him Abba, Daddy, Father. Affectionate cry to our Father. You're no longer a slave, but you're an adopted child and heir of God. Will you live as a slave, or will you live as a child? Okay. Hopefully I've helped bring to the light a little bit what it means to be slave, what it means to be a child, what it means to be adopted. But now, here comes my favorite part, what I like to call the cash value of the message. Okay, what do we do with that? Okay, maybe I've read Galatians. Maybe I've memorized Galatians. Maybe I've translated Galatians from the Greek. But what does this message mean for me today here? Now, I've never been me right now. Everything that's led up to me, this is who I am right now. This is where God has brought me right. So what does the message of sons, daughters, and heirs, and slaves, what does that have to do with me today? Well, by way of reminder, God is your Father. Now, I'll give you a little bit of glimpse of church renewal ministry. Small group Bible study. You know, a lot of these churches that you may have heard of that you may be praying for, 251, that's awesome. Keep doing that. Churches that have been around for 200 years. Our 200th anniversary, by the way, is 10 years from this spring. You're all invited. We've got a church that's been around forever. The gospel hasn't been preached for decades, or in some of your cases, lifetime. So what do you do? So you look for what God is doing already. You know, good old Blackaby. What's God doing? How can we come alongside what God is doing? So we had some relatively young folks being like, I've heard of this Bible study thing. Because my sister-in-law was like way into this Bible study, and it seemed like it changed her life. So can you guys do that? Can we do that? And we're like, yeah, let's do that. Yeah. So, you know, we have a women's Bible study, and then some of their husbands wanted to do the men's Bible study. You know, it's very small, you know, 3 or 4, maybe 5. Been amazing. God has been doing amazing things in the lives and hearts and the faith of these folks. And wow. But this is sort of the quintessential moment for me. We're going through this discipleship book, the basics of discipleship book called The Walk. It's really perfect for what we need. And one of the chapters talked about adoption. This is what we're talking about here. And one of the guys was like, yeah, I was reading that. And it was like, I never realized that that's how God is my Father. Like, I grew up in such and such church saying our Father all the time. So I sort of knew that God is my Father, but I never understood how that worked. Like, He's adopted me into His family. Like, yeah, that is so awesome. We could talk about that all night. You're like, and that makes Jesus your big brother, because He is the only begotten Son, and now we are the sons and daughters of the King as well. So that to me, you know, the lights are coming on here in Bennington. The lights are coming on here in Bennington because of your prayers, because of your work, because of God's Spirit. So more and more people are hearing and knowing that they are sons and daughters of the King. God is your Father. Jesus is your older brother. That makes us siblings, adopted siblings, right? And I have no doubt that some of us here in this room are actually been adopted into families because, like, statistically speaking, so some of us know better than others what it feels like to be adopted physically, but hopefully all of us know what it's like to be adopted spiritually. You're no longer a slave. Now, I have to even apologize for asking this because it may have caused some stress, but I kind of ask things last minute sometimes, and there's this really awesome Bethel Music song. Do you guys know Bethel Music? I'm not super familiar with their catalog, but it came up on my Pandora or whatever, and it's like, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. It's an awesome song. Recommend that you guys learn it. I want to learn it for our church, but I was texting Rachel yesterday. Do you guys know the song? Can you play it for chapel? But I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. But here's a couple catches here. All right, Greek scholars, is this subjunctive, I think? Verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as son. Might. That's a dangerous word. I think that's subjunctive. I did not double-check the Greek this week, but might. We might receive the adoption as sons of God if we will turn to the Lord. And it's not just believe once and done. As you guys know this. But at the same time, we need to keep on believing. Keep on believing. Watch. Okay, think about even this morning, even this week, as you've started your classes, are you living like a slave? Are you living like an orphaned slave? Are you living in certain ways? Maybe not overall. I trust that those of us who are here have faith in the Lord. Perhaps some of us not yet, but I trust that most of us are on this path. And yet there could be ways here and there that we are trying to live like slaves. Now, consider what's got you in its grip as slavery. And God wants to say, you're no longer a slave to that. I want you to remember, you're a child, you're a son, you're a daughter. Now I haven't been in college for a little while, but I was in the beauty and the mess of academia not that long ago. I just graduated from seminary, and you know, college is its own stress. Some of you actually, I know this, but try having college with four kids running around the house. But anyways, some of you know that. But I was realizing I was behaving like a slave to academia. It's easy to blame academia at large, right? I was behaving as a slave to my own perception of academia. I want to do this right. And God had to knock me on my face first semester, second semester? I can't remember. Michelle might remember. But yeah, it was the first semester, I think. Because we lived in a teeny tiny apartment before the bigger ones were ready. And anyway, God had to knock me down and knock out of my hands my slave mentality to wanting to get it all right. Because he did it through health for us. He might do it through other ways for you. But he wants to set you free. Perhaps from the slavery of academia. Of course, you do want to do well. You're not going to hear me say you don't want to do well. But you don't want to be a slave to our Western academia thing. You want to be set free. And then when you're set free, God sends a spirit into your son. So you say, Abba, Father, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You have everything you need. You have everything you need. Now, when we moved, a little biographical story here, and then I'll finish up. I felt the call to ministry when we lived in Tennessee. And I was an elder at a Presbyterian church in Tennessee, and I started with music ministry, did some teaching, and started to do some preaching, and God blew me up and said, you know, computers aren't your thing anymore. I'm sending you on this track to ministry. And I was just fighting that. Like, no way, computers make some pretty good money. I'm not going to do that. And I've got all these kids. I've got another kid on the way, and there's no way. And I was a slave to that fear. Because I didn't want to follow God anywhere besides my safe little cubicle that was driving me into the ground. I was a slave to that. But he provided. He sent us to Portland, Maine. Although he was nice to me because he let me keep my day job. I kept my computer job, went up to Portland, Maine, and started a ministry internship. The ministry internship went up in amazingly bright flames. You guys know Monty Python, the Holy Grail? You know that? I've been described by a pastor as the holy hand grenade. Me personally, I was the holy hand grenade to this poor church that all they wanted to do was bring in this internship, and then all of a sudden, all these pastor problems started happening that were really brewing before I got there. You know, not my fault, of course, but... But my presence there, I was like, well, you know, I think we need to work on some stuff before we do this whole internship thing. And then it just blew apart. Thankfully, the Lord is a God of resurrection. It very nearly died, and now it's, as far as I can tell, flourishing again. But, you know, God provided in the mess in Maine for us. And yeah, I did not want to go to full-time seminary the same reasons. I was afraid. Didn't want to go to full-time seminary. No way. God basically made me. I think because my wife was praying a lot. So we went without really knowing what was going to happen as far as, like, how is God going to provide? And maybe you guys can relate to that. I have walked out on this plank, so to speak, and I don't know how you're going to provide. But he does, and he did. He keeps on providing. He keeps on providing. And in a certain sense, I was thinking about this morning. We felt a super clear call to Bennington. No doubt about it. We're so glad that we're here. We really didn't have much idea of the spiritual condition of the town besides kind of the generic not so good. I had no idea there was such a thing called Northeastern Baptist College when I got here. And what a huge blessing it's been that you have been to me and to our church, even in a few short months, well, what, 8 or 9 months. I did not expect that, but that's God providing for me because he is a generous God. Because he's made me a son. He's made me an heir. How Jesus redeemed us out of slavery and purchased our adoption. In order to do that, he became destitute so we might have it all. You're no longer a slave, but you're an adopted child and heir of God. Will you live like a slave, or will you live like a child of God? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you that you have given us your abundance of love and mercy and care. I do pray for the students, the staff, the faculty, the administrators, and all others here at Northeastern, that you would bless each one, that you would provide for them as their father, that each would continue to turn to you as not only Lord, but Father and King, Savior. Help us, Lord, to live not in fear, but to live as children of the King. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.